Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Jacqueline Ripstein, who is the author of The Art of Healing Art, The Keys to Power and Awareness. Jacqueline is an artist and on a spiritual journey as well, and has made some fairly remarkable discoveries about art and how it can help us with the journey we have through life, our spiritual journey, as well as some particular keys in terms of what art can reveal to us, including higher vibrational forms of light and things within the art itself. Thanks, Jacqueline, for joining us.
It's wonderful to be here with you today.
So, would you tell our listening audience a little bit about your story and how you came upon your spiritual mission as well as your artistic mission?
Well, I would think it's very much the same, you know. As a human being, I've always been very, very concerned about the welfare of our humanity. And, you know, 38 years ago, I started painting professionally. And mm-hmm. one of my main motives has always been, even when I started, I'm self-taught, you know, I never went to art school. But one of the things was, I was always concerned that we should look for the light within us. And, mm-hmm. you know, the way humanity treats humanity. So that's what really took me at the beginning of my art. If you see in the years 1973, 74, and on, you will see that my thematic is very profound, and that I've always been very aware of that art has a reason to be, and that it can move, you know, a person to the point of change.
Yes, I think sometimes when we see a piece of art that really resonates with us, it can help us with the next step of our spiritual development. There's no question about that. I've had it happen.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, there's several ways how art can really influence a human being, and one of them is, if you're doing it yourself, your mind is focusing in a state of creation, and you're in a positive, very high vibrational mode. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at a piece of art, it depends where the level of vibrations that when it was done and what is emitting. Mm-hmm. And if you can see, my art has been proven by several scientific people how it changes and how it motivates you. Well, the whole idea there was that art has never been proven before of the vibrations it emanated, yet music has for many years. And the reality is, when you're in front of a piece of art, if it contains a very low emotional state, it's going to give you that low emotional impact. Mm-hmm. If it has a high vibrational state, it will ascend you.
I went to the High Museum here in Atlanta not too long ago and was looking at some Rembrandts. They had an emanation from them that was quite different than anything that I had ever experienced. And, of course, standing in front of the painting, the actual Rembrandt is very, very different than seeing a picture of it, even on the Internet. So I think I do understand what you're talking about. Like, when you're right in front of a piece of art, it does have a vibrational signature that is quite unique.
You know, it's so interesting. Rembrandt had a diary, and in his diary he wrote before he died, "God, forgive me because I really couldn't show people what I came to show them." And
really?
He was a master of what you call chiaroscuro, which is the technique of light and darkness. And if you remember, mm-hmm. I have that in the book, but I
right.
put the chiaroscuro to life, how you know, in life we have the choices of those two forces that move us. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be light and darkness, evil and good, you know, those two forces that are constantly in movement. And he said that because he was trying to show people the divine light, that even mm-hmm. within darkness, there's always a light.
Well, he did. I mean, in his paintings, I saw something coming out of them that I had never seen in a picture of a Rembrandt. I mean, it just doesn't capture it the way that the original art does. That's probably why that original art is so expensive, because it has the original vibration that the painter was trying to bring forth.
Yes. But even if you see that, you know, through the internet, you will get it, because it contains beyond that. Whenever you're connecting a piece of art to the light of God, mm-hmm. somehow it contains it and it vibrates it. The other day I had a show in a gallery, and mm-hmm. I had a flashlight to show people more definedly, you know, the invincible the technique that I came along to show people the light of God and the divine light within us. And suddenly I put it on top of a cup, and the whole cup just lightened up with the angels. And I went like, oh my God, the invisible is trespassing everything. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, when you're talking about the invisible, God knows what forces are there that it trespasses matter.
Well, there's examples of that in other art too. One of my friends is a neurologist that was associated with the Nancy out in Conyers, who was channeling Mother Mary, and in her home there was a piece of art. I believe it was a picture of Jesus, and light would come through that picture. I mean, the light that you're talking about, that you just described. So isn't it interesting that through certain pictures, this light from probably another dimension is able to come through? I mean, it's really incredible.
Well, yes, it is another dimension, definitely. And the dimension we're talking about is exactly the invisible. That whenever, you know, people ask me and I say to them, okay, when they say, what is the invisible? How many hours do you think you live in the invisible world?
How many what now?
Hours. How many hours do you think you live in the invisible world?
Well, I probably live there quite a bit. But that's because I spend a lot of time doing surgery. And when I'm in surgery, I believe I'm partially in the invisible world, because I get impressions and whatever. But, you know, because I spend a lot of time doing surgery. Just like when you're doing your artwork, you're partially in the invisible world, because we're creating.
Yeah.
I'm a plastic surgeon, so I'm actually doing art sculpting in flesh, you see. I'm trying to make something out of nothing, often nothing, you know.
That's great. That's
so,
a great creative
So
process.
I'm aware that I'm in the invisible world a lot. I mean, at night, I imagine, when I'm in the sleep state, I am, and then during my surgery, I am, and during my healings, I do healings, and during that time, I'm definitely connected to the visible world. The energy is coming through.
No, but your thoughts and your feelings are invisible. They're not visible. You're manifesting.
Mm-hmm, right.
So the whole idea why I came into this and why I pioneered, you know, in art invisibility was to mm-hmm. show people that who we really are, we are invisible beings manifesting in a visible vibrational matter world. But in reality, mm-hmm. I'm manifesting with my thoughts, my feelings, mm-hmm. which are in the invisible, and then I'm manifesting, you know, with my actions in the visible. So we live 24/24, and then, as you said, when you're sleeping, you're still in the invisible. So mm-hmm. all day you are in the invisible. You're thinking, you're feeling, you're emotional. All that is invisible.
and the guidance that we get. We get guidance all throughout the day. You know, you have a feeling to turn one way versus another, or that this is a good time to call somebody, and, you know, they're hard to get a hold of, but when you call them, you get a hold of them because that was the one time they answered their phone. You know, all throughout the day, you get this guidance, and that's coming from the invisible.
Exactly. So that's why, you know, in the 1984, when I started all this search in reality, you know, at that time I was saying, God, please show me the way. Show me how to show people. Now imagine that, like, you're in front of a canvas, okay, and you're asking God for invisibility. People were laughing at me. People were saying, oh, my God, you're like the emperor. Go out to the street and use your cape, you know, and people were really laughing at me, and I really had to surpass all that because I felt a strength within me moving me beyond their laughs and beyond the being pinpointed as you're crazy, you know, you're a witch, or, you know, at a certain point I had to laugh at it and say, instead of a car, I parked my broom, so people, they would go beyond, you know. But when you believe in something, and that's what happened to me. I was truly believing from my heart and asking God, God, let me show you. Let me show your light. Let me show you the divine within each of us. And that's what moved me to create and patent in 1986, the invisible techniques and, you know, that I created. And each of my paintings becomes a portal that takes you to another vibrational experience, if you want to call it that way. You know, death is a vibrational experience, and when we are guided, it's a vibrational experience. And when art has that level, it can also ascend you to those experiences.
Let's talk a little bit about the individual paintings. On the front of your book is The Architect of Your Own Destiny, 1983. Would you like to talk a little bit about that? Also, maybe just give your website so people can go ahead and look at the paintings online while we talk about them.
Okay, my website of the book is the www.theartofhealingart.com. And the website where they can see my art is JacquelineRipstein.com, JacquelineRipstein.com.
Okay, great. And I just think this Architect of Your Own Destiny is a fabulous piece. I really like that.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, yeah, the whole idea with this painting is to show, if you see, you have the light of God on your right-hand side, upper right-hand side, and there are like thunders of light coming into the mountain, giving light to other sculptures. And the sculpture is making itself, which means God gives us light, but it's up to us how we chisel it.
And what is
and how
the
we make,
lightning?
You know, every day is a new canvas. Every day is a piece of art. So we have to make the best of it, you know, while we're alive.
Yeah, that's kind of like the light of God is like, in the Lord's Prayer, our daily bread, you know, our daily packet of energy that we have to use or abuse. You know, if we spend all of our time being victims and being judgmental and all that sort of thing, then we don't have enough life force energy to create our own destiny, and we end up aging very quickly and dying. Is that what that means? What is the lightning down on the other side of the rock?
If you see there's a face, there's a head coming out of it, which is the moment we're born, he gives us life.
Oh, okay.
You know, through that light, we contain that light within us all through our lives, but we just don't touch it. We just don't awaken to it. And, you know, at the beginning of the lesson, I wrote, our life is our best work of art. We are creating it in every moment. God gives us life. so the journey begins at birth. So that's the whole idea, to understand that when we're born, you know, we come from the light and we have a whole journey. And in that journey, that lesson in the book shows you that the mission of that journey is to find the light within us.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And
that's
sometimes we forget, you know, with the noise, with the stress, with the materialism, we forget, as we were talking a little while ago, that we're invisible beings manifesting in a visible world.
Mm-hmm. We get caught in the third dimension and think this is all that there is.
Well, yeah, because, you know, that's what you call the Maya, the illusion world. So the book is done that it takes you, you can use it two ways. One, as an oracle, open it wherever and every day it will guide you, or whenever you have somebody that needs help, you can do it through the book too, like a tarot, but in a book. Or, you know, you yourself can ask questions, but remember that the questions that will be answered will go to the deepest part of the being where these questions have not been solved, or you're still suffering, or you want to bring something to the surface. You want to do the second way to read the book is to go from lesson 1 to lesson 15, and as you do that, I don't know if it happened to you that you had moments of recognition, that you said to yourself, yes, I know that. Yes, I know that. And you started recognizing many things. Well, through that process, you will know that the one that's recognizing is your spirit, because we all contain knowledge within our spirit.
That's true.
And when you're recognizing, you're in touch with your spirit. You know, there's a bridge that opens between the material and the spirit world, and between the visible and the invisible.
Right. Yeah, you're getting instruction of what would be a better path than the one you're taking. That's true.
Exactly. But what's happening is the moment you're connecting with a high vibrational book as well, it connects you to your soul. It's a tool. It becomes a tool.
Right. Well, let's look at lesson 1, Man and the Cosmos. Would you like to comment on that, 1982?
Okay. As you can see, many of my paintings have been very prophetic and very much beyond its time. And this was done, as you said, in the 80s, beginning of the 80s. And at that time when I did the painting, they gave me about the zero point. And if you see in the painting, you will see that there's night and day, the moon and the sun, the man and the woman. And the middle is where the whole creation is happening. That's what's called the zero point. Scientifically, the zero point was discovered many years later when I was given this painting. And the whole idea of starting the book with Man and the Cosmos is to show people that we are magnificent, that we are not little. We have a huge mission of life, and that mission is to understand our light, our path, our unity with all life and all creation. So that's where the beginning of everything starts, of understanding that from the point zero of creation, everything starts and life starts and life vibrates.
Yep, that's the playing field, so to speak.
And well, then the energetic second one, playing field,
Right. The second one we've already discussed, that's how it we get a spark of the lightning infuses us with the light of God at birth, and then we have to architect our own destiny, which is really beautiful. Okay,
thanks.
So number three is life. Is that right? Life. 1987.
Yes.
Now that's one where you started to do the black, the
exactly.
There are two different.
Well,
Yeah, you want to describe that.
Well, I really started the research in 1984, but 1987 I had already patented. So this is one of the first paintings that I did to show people that light of God. And here, this painting is very powerful because when you see it, I've done it with groups of, after 9/11, I was called into a university to help the students, you know, kind of like lose some of the fear and center them back again. And I use this painting in the workshop. And if you see in the painting on the left-hand side, there's a wreckage of a boat.
Right.
And the whole idea is to show you that after a life storm, what happens? We feel destroyed. We feel we can't go on anymore. We feel tired. And we all have gone through moments of that. That's part of the ups and down of life. Well, the moments when you're down, they represent the opportunity to move up again in life.
Right.
And the ocean is representing movement of life, like the heart is beating up and down and up and down. And, you know, you see it, you know, in the machines, no? Well, it's the same. But then the understanding of this lesson and this painting is when we feel that we're destroyed, what in reality is destroyed? And it's the illusion that I feel I'm destroyed, because in The Invincible, if you move a few pages later, in page 55, you will see that the boat appears sailing complete. And by showing you that the boat is complete, it shows you that the soul can never be destroyed.
Right.
It is the illusion world that makes us feel destroyed. It's the material world. But our soul is eternal. So that's the whole idea. You know, this lesson is very helpful to people that are suffering, you know, in a storm in their lives, and they need hope back again. This is a very powerful lesson to help those people.
And then on page 56, you show it under normal and black lights, and it's another picture indeed.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Very interesting.
Yes.
Well, that's a very good point for that lesson, that nothing real can be threatened and nothing unreal exists. Therein lies the peace of God. And everything at this level is illusionary, so of course it can be threatened, but nothing real can be threatened, as it never ceases to exist.
Yeah, somebody said to me years ago, you know, your art is like A Course in Miracles, which, you know, I really have never taken time to study, but I know that's one of the phrases, and I love it, and I think,
it's at the front
you
of
know,
the book,
that
yeah.
she brought it in such an amazing way, and maybe one of these days I'll take it and I'll start doing images of that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I never know.
It's probably one of the best books ever on forgiveness, but if your lessons are not in forgiveness, and I suspect that yours are not, I think you probably learned that lesson in a previous life, but people who have lessons in forgiveness, it's one of the best books that they can do, because of the workbook, and you know, they have a different lesson every day, and it just really is effective if people just do the course. And so it's just one lesson, though. I imagine your lessons are more unconditional love and things like that. But
that's one of the things with the book, that the idea here is to help people in different trials, you know, positions of life, where they can come to the book and open it wherever they are, if it's about life, if it's about the inner child, if it's about being tested with the ego, about how to accommodate to a new era. So the whole idea is that the book by itself contains lessons that can help you with the trials of life, which, you know, there are no trials that do not contain what we contain in the sense of if I have a very strong testing life, it is important to understand that I do contain the strength, the necessary strength to deal with that lesson. If not, it would have never come to me.
Right. Well, I just did what you suggested. I asked Spirit to guide me to the most important lesson for me, and it was I think it's 14, the Garden of the Prophets. But we'll get to that in a little bit.
Oh, my God, you're the second person that does this in radio. That's amazing.
Well, it actually is true, too, because I'm working very much on connecting with the invisible realm to bring in answers for very difficult diseases. So this is, this is the, and to really understand those diseases. So that's what it says here, the prophet is an intermediary between humanity and divinity. So that's my new job, is to help people with difficult disease. So I think
that's beautiful. Well, if I can help you and we can build something together, it would be great.
All right. That would be great. All righty. Now, the lesson 4 is The Burden of Life, 1980. You want to comment on that one?
Do you see the date here, 1980? And you see that the angel looks like one of my invisible, right?
Right.
The amazing thing here is that it showed me years later that I already contained a footprint in my soul to bring down, that was part of my mission of life, to bring in this technique, because it totally looks like invisible, and it's not. It's just oil. At that time, and I was not even thinking of creating a new technique. I was creating techniques with movement, with art, which I also patented at that time. I used to say, why would a piece of art be just, with no movement? And so years later, I understood. Now, the meaning of this painting is the burden of life, how we each have a certain design of a package that we have to carry on us, with us. But then it's up to us to lighten that burden, because there are many things we keep on carrying. And one of the things we keep on doing is going to the past, which is useless.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because waste of energy, according to A Course in Miracles. Stay in the present. That's right.
Yes. Because the only thing we're doing by going to the past is losing the present.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the only thing we're achieving. And it's not a gain, it's a lose. We're losing.
And I think we need to look at what our burdens are. A lot of us carry guilt. A lot of us carry the burden of being unable to forgive past actions. And just looking at what keeps us from really lifting ourselves out of our current suffering state is really important. I think people need to kind of meditate on what is holding them back. Because only they can release it. I mean, nobody else can make you release it. You have to release it yourself.
One of the things in this lesson and to remember is that there's not only one. Behind the fear, there's a lack of love. There's always something behind something. You will always find an atom within an atom. And here, the lesson begins by saying, the fourth lesson guides us to learn about life's purpose and to help us revise the burden we tend to carry. It will teach us to question ourselves about our life's objective and to focus on creating an intention in all we do. Life offers many kinds of experience, so it goes on and on to show you that life has those ups and downs, and then we have a tendency of seeing in other people their faults, but not in us. And then we keep on carrying more and more of that burden on us, and more tests will come to us until we unload the load.
Yeah, until it becomes clear what we're
doing wrong. It
sounded
like a Pueblo.
Yeah. So in this painting, you've got some figures down here in the foreground. Are they representative of humanity that is like kind of burdened down? Is that what that is?
Well, you see that here you have people walking, and they mm-hmm. all have different kind of loads. Some have very small loads in their back.
Some have very
big. Can you see that?
Yeah.
They're carrying a load.
Oh, yeah, I see that one. Okay, yeah.
A sack, they're carrying a sack.
Right.
And they all have different kinds of sacks. And many times, one of the things in this lesson says that many times we want to help others by taking part of their load, and we can't.
Uh-huh.
There's no way we can carry somebody else's load because it's not meant to be that we work on them. We have to work on ours. We can help inspire their lives, yes.
Yeah, that's like a parent that always keeps bailing their kid out of trouble, you know, paying their fines and bailing them out of jail and, you know, getting them out of their problems. But the kid never learns not to get into trouble, you know. It's kind of enabling. And eventually the child probably is worse off because of that intervention than they would have been if they had to accept responsibility for it. So you're right. People do that.
We have a tendency of protecting others.
Right. We're in actuality. Have you heard of the Angel Scroll that Greg Braden made famous? It was a scroll that was found in the Dead Sea, and it was bought by a group of Byzantine monks in 1954. And it was supposedly written by Jesus, and it says, death is not the end, nor is conception the beginning. So it's important to understand that each of us comes in with burdens, you know, from previous lives. It's not, and it goes on to say, no child is innocent. You know, we all have the burden, actually, unless you just are coming in from spirit for the first time and have never incarnated, you will have something brought in with you. So that's important to understand, that when you have children, they come with their own, you know, things on their back, like you depict in your picture. And so it's up to them. I mean, you can help them do it. I'm not saying you shouldn't help people, but it's really their spiritual journey to, you know, to undo that burden.
You know, yes, I say it's part of the lesson as well, where I say that whenever a child is born, they're born with two things, the Dharma and the Karma. The Dharma are the gift we obtain from good actions from another lifetime.
Right.
The Karma is the negative energy we bring along, as you say. I call it the DNA of the soul. Mm-hmm. And it's imprinted in that DNA of the soul. Now, it's very important to understand that we can easily be confused by between a sack and an anchor. The sack keeps the loads of it. The anchors represent the moments of stagnation in our lives when our feelings and thoughts are inadequate. Mm-hmm. And they impede us to move forward. And then we're holding on to them, and we're keeping them. So here you have two things, the sack, you know, in itself, the load, and the anchor. So we need to be aware that not only we have to take out the anchor, you know, let it go, but then we have to empty it from the sack.
Right.
It's a process.
That's very true. Okay, lesson five, I Am, 1995. It's a beautiful, beautiful painting.
Thank you.
I want to see it in color.
Okay.
I'm going to go look at your website. So,
you know, within the same title, you have the answer. When you say I am backwards, what does it tell you?
It says, I am that I am.
But if you say I am backwards, what do you say? Am I? it takes you to the question, back to the question of getting yourself focused within you and find the answer within you. Because how many times people go to India and go around the world looking for themselves? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I say here is the question of Shakespeare. To be or not to be, is that the question? When we're looking for the being, we lose the being. We will never find it because we're looking for it instead of knowing that we are the being.
Right, and whatever you claim, you know, when you say, I am tired, I am angry, I am upset, I am whatever, then you push yourself toward that state. And so it's better to...
Well,
I
yes,
am
but
in the positive.
That's an identity. at that point, Anna, what people are doing is they're holding on to an identity. I am this, I am that, I'm a doctor, I am angry. And you're holding on to roles of life and feelings of life, and that's not who we are. Everything that we define that we are is what we're not. The same as God, you know, it's like God is everywhere. God is not an entity. God is life. God is vibration. Mm-hmm. God is everything within everything. So I think that whenever we're defining it, we're losing part of the real essence to it. So the idea with this lesson is to show people to be or not to be. Is it a choice? Are we or are we not? Have you felt the being within you? And it takes you to understand that the mastery of life lies within realizing that we are that divine being.
And then that
divine being is love and peace.
And you see the divine being when you look at the painting under black light.
Yes, well, you see the angel holding the I am presence. And when you say I am, and I say I am, we are one. See, if you say I am, and I say I am, and somebody says I am, we all are. We're not separated. We are just particles of that same light.
I believe that
we're here in this world to show the light of God, to reveal the invisible through the visible. That's what my belief is of so many years of working within the invisible world.
Yeah, it says, and then on the last page of this chapter, it says, I am your spirit, I am your eternal being, I am love, you are never alone, I am always within you.
And, you know, it helps us to understand not only to manifest our lives differently, but to understand the essence, because how many times we feel alone and we forget that within us, you know, there's a whole light of God, there's a whole light being that's, we're never alone. It's the same as with the boat and, you know, the same essence of understanding that you know, it's the presence within us. Remember footprints, you know, I'm carrying you, but you never knew it.
Yeah, I was really blessed in this life because even when I was very young, I always felt that presence. So I've had virtually no loneliness in my life because of that. I can always feel that presence. And I also have been able to be guided by it, especially in times of darkness. When I didn't know which way to go, it would always come through and tell me either just things are going to be fine if I was despairing or really give me specific direction. It was that thought or voice, it thought within that said that I was going to be a plastic surgeon. That was in medical school. I was guided to be a plastic surgeon. If I hadn't been a plastic surgeon, who was also guided to get breast implants, one of which was going to leak, then I was going to get deathly ill from that, and I was going to figure out why I was deathly ill, and then I was going to be able to help all these women who have breast implant problems. But you see, right. You have to be guided every step of the way. If I wasn't guided to be a plastic surgeon, I couldn't have gotten to the point in life that I'm at.
But see, you were blessed into being awake to listen. And
right.
That's what we want with our humanity, to let them
yeah.
know that they have to stop the stress and the noise in their lives, to listen
mm-hmm.
to the guidance, because we're all being guided at all times.
That's
the only
correct.
Thing is that we don't stop and listen.
Yeah.
Even when we're
too
saying...
Too much chatter in the mind.
Exactly. And you
mm-hmm.
know, chatter brings chatter. In the book, I don't remember which of the lessons, but one of the things I say is that when you're having negative thoughts, they reproduce as viruses too.
Mm-hmm.
One will nourish another, and another will nourish two more, and
mm-hmm.
two more will bring
sure.
four more, and they will just reproduce. And by the time you're trying to stop this, the viruses
mm-hmm.
have taken over.
Right.
And look how beautiful, in your case, you know, you had to awaken, and it was very clear through what and what, but you listened, and your
mm-hmm.
experience helped you so you can help others.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think we are all, like you said earlier in the interview, you said we all have the special dharma or gifts and a very specific purpose for why we come in. It's, you know, we don't always know what it is, but by following the guidance, by the end of your life, you should figure out why you're here and what your contracts are and why you came forth. Especially many of the lessons are simply to learn some of the various things that you've represented in your book. You know, like I said, it's really a good idea just to open the book and find what lesson you're stuck on. You know,
and look how it answered you accurately, you know, and it will continue to answer
right.
you even every morning, every day, everything. But
right.
one of the things,
right.
I don't know if you know that what I had to go through when I did the book, I was sick for 3 years. When,
from
one day to another, in the year 2005, I started
mm-hmm.
feeling that something was wrong, and I started getting, you know, headaches, and my head would really hurt, and
mm-hmm.
little by little, I couldn't talk. And
oh,
I went
goodness.
To have a lot of studies, and they just couldn't find what I had, and eventually they thought I had a brain tumor.
Mm-hmm.
And then they saw that instead of the brain tumor, my pineal gland was huge, but normal.
Ah,
and the pineal
yeah.
gland is the third eye. So
it is.
As an artist,
oh my
I've
goodness.
Always used the third eye. But what happened is that my speech went worse and worse. I could only perform 1 hour per day. And
uh-huh.
that took me to be angry and to say, okay, God, you know, what do you want from me? You know, it's like,
right.
now I can't talk. And what is going on? I'm not feeling well. I
mm-hmm.
can't perform. And when I let go of the denial of the sickness and the anger that I'm not perfect, something is
mm-hmm.
happening to me, you know, here I am now, you know, not being able to talk,
mm-hmm.
I started realizing that my inner child, the I Am Presence, I was not connecting to it. So I did
mm-hmm.
a lot of exercises to connect to it. And
mm-hmm.
then the whole book was dictated to me, the whole book.
Ah, interesting.
Very similar
to the
Course
in Miracles. You had to figure it out. Yeah, you
eh?
Had to figure it out. And that brings me to another point with spiritual medicine, is that a lot of times illnesses can't be categorized within what traditional medicine knows at all, and that the person
exactly.
themselves has to figure it out, which I help them do. You know, if traditional medicine is clueless.
Yes, exactly. I love it. I never thought about it with medicine, but yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things that happened, there were days I would say not so quickly because the dictation was so quick. And without knowing, the same book was starting to help me heal, but I ended up in a clinic in Tijuana with an American doctor that unfortunately he died, and he helped me heal because traditional medicine could not find what I had, and exactly what you're saying. It applies perfect to my case.
It's so interesting because you're right. The pineal gland is like the third eye. It's the spiritual, the eye to the spiritual world. And here you were bringing in the whole thing of what you're bringing in is how to connect to that world. That's very interesting. And all your artwork was a window into that world. So
what happened to you was what you had to do and within... If they would not have shut my mouth, and I would have never done the book.
Well, spirit, your soul and your guardian angels are very smart. They know you, and they know what it takes to get you to do what you need to do. That's great.
I have to shut my mouth. Yeah.
Well, we probably have time for one more lesson, and I'm on the Cosmic Chess Game of Life. That's lesson 4. And I want to remind people there's many, many more lessons, so you have to get the book so that you can see all the other lessons. But anyway, lesson 4 is the Cosmic Chess Game of Life. And this talks about duality. You want to mention that for the audience?
Yeah, can we please mention where they can get the book?
They can get the book
in Amazon and through the name The Art of Healing Art, but healing art is one word, healing art, or my name, Jacqueline Ripstein, R-I-P-S-T-E-I-N, or contacting me through the www.theartofhealingart.com. Okay, so people can know where they can get it.
You can probably get a signed copy if you go directly to Jacqueline. Right?
And they can get the audiobook as well, and they can get the black and white or the color book. Well,
okay, great.
The cosmic chess of life, you know, for me, again, we're talking about those duality forces that have two poles. There's two things that this lesson addresses. One, the transmutation of lower mental states into higher ones, and also transmutation of our own thoughts, which if you talk about the word transmutation, it takes you to an alchemy process where they were trying to convert lead into gold. And it's a reference that we ourselves can convert ourselves from lead to gold. As we learn to master our thoughts, our feelings, but we need to understand that our thoughts create our feelings and our emotions and feelings create our actions. So in order to create the life we want to really desire and we really need of peace and love, we need to go back to the thoughts and watch our emotions and keep a constant watch on us, you know, not on others. Instead of pinpointing others, it comes back to us. And to learn to drop our fears, our egos. You know, one of the lessons I love is the lesson of the ego, because very few times you have a chance to really understand what the ego is. And some I've heard many times people say you need to get rid of the ego. There's no way, Anna. There's no way of getting rid of light or darkness. There are two forces. The only way is to learn to use the darkness and move above to the light through it.
So, and you have the Jail of the Ego, 2009.
Yeah.
The picture, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And if you want to go to that one, you know, to the ego lesson, it is very important to understand that illusion jails us. It limits us. Because if we are focused in the illusion world, instead of expanding, of understanding that we're much more than visibility, we are we're an invisible light being within a body, where we are limiting our greatness.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's very true. Well, we're coming up on the last few minutes of the interview. Is there anything you'd like to share with the audience?
Well, what I would love to share is empower people to understand that whatever trial of life they're going through, there's never darkness is never forever. After mm-hmm. darkness, there's always light. And that's why I'm offering the book, you know, in the sense of, you know, here we are with the capacity of dealing with whatever comes in our lives. And mm-hmm. not to lose hope is very important, to understand that we're all beings of light. And let's mm-hmm. move forward to leave our humanity, our children, a world of love that they deserve
mm-hmm.
and peace.
Well, I really appreciate the book and really appreciate your artwork. It's really beautiful. And thank you so much for sharing it with us today.
Well, you know, one of the things when you're doing surgery, having a high vibrational art by your side and your thoughts, it all helps you, you know, take that field. And thank you for having me, and thank you for the great, you know, work you're doing for our humanity.
Well, thank you very much, Jacqueline. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. We've been speaking with Jacqueline Ripstein, the author of The Art of Healing Art, The Keys to Power and Awareness. And her book is an introduction as well to her art, which can be found on her website, JacquelineRipstein.com. Also, next week we will be interviewing Lisa Champion, Empathy 101, Understanding and Mastering Empathy. And then Philip Kamala, The Collapse of Materialism, Visions of Science, Dreams of God. And then Gary Noel will be on the 24th, Reboot Your Brain, A Natural Approach to Fighting Memory Loss. Thanks so much, Jacqueline. Thanks for joining us. And
thank you, Stan, and thank you for having me.
It was a pleasure. Please join us next week for Temple of Health Radio Show.